January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous Standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AudioBoom. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AudioBoom for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AudioBoom.
Tonight, I'm bringing you the complete story of The Forest Ran Red. Beware the Dog Man. A shout out to Will Rain for allowing us to put our heads together to come up with this brilliant concept of a horror story. I hope you all enjoy. As soon as the first body turned up, they already had me pegged for it. It wouldn't be the first time they blamed me for something like this, and I just knew it wouldn't be the last. I had never bothered any one of them, but ever since I came back from Afghanistan, that damn sheriff just had it out for me. I had just about gotten my uncle's old camper up and running to finally get my ass out of this shallow little town and its shitty residents when this madness dropped on my lap. My name's Bauer, and I served 3 tours out there before I was finally sent back home. The nightmares of seeing what became of the folks I was close to still keeps me awake far too many nights. It took a toll on me. Made it so I wasn't fit to be a soldier anymore. Not in the way they wanted me to be anyways. We got in the gritty shit. Me and my company. But I was the only one who made it out there in one piece. That damn place left most of us dead. But me and Jones survived it. Though he was half the man he used to be by the time we came back home. I still see his legs turning to hamburger right in front of me when I close my eyes. I was in so much shock at the time, it took me longer than I like to admit before I realized he was still alive. Wasn't much left of him below the waist anymore, but he still made it back to the States with me. I hoped we could still be a part of each other's lives when we returned, but that wasn't in the cards. He put a gun in his mouth about 2 months after we had gotten home. I tried to stick by his side, but he pushed me away, as well as anyone else who tried to help. I still feel the guilt of not being able to truly save him, as well as the burden of seeing someone I truly cared about losing everything he was to that war. Jones was more than a friend to me, though we never acted on any of that back then. We made plans for if we made it back home, but those never came to fruition. They always made out folks of our particular persuasion would not be accepted by their fellow soldiers if they knew, but it wasn't like that at all. The rest of the guys were fully aware how we were about each other, and they did nothing but support us and wish us the best. Sure, there would be plenty of shit talk and jokes, but no worse than they gave each other. If anything, that would just make us feel more accepted. Truth be told, he may as well have died when that bomb took his legs. I think it took what was left of his mind, just as much as his ability to even walk again. Hell, I think I lost almost as much of my marbles as he did when it happened. It was that last straw that had me holding my already fractured brain intact. Every time I got close to thinking I got my demons beat, something refuels them, feeds them, makes them even stronger than before. Yeah. I've seen some shit, but nothing could have prepared me for this. I was born and raised in Pennsylvania, but my folks died some years back, so I don't have much reason to go back there when I came home. Uncle Frank, he lived out here in Vermont, so that's where I ended up. I was hanging on by a thread by the time I got back, but we had always been pretty close since I was a kid. He helped me through the toughest parts of adjusting back to life amongst the living, but I had to watch the cancer eat away at him, piece by piece until there was nothing left. He was a vet too, and he still had plenty of both mental and physical scars from his time in Vietnam, so he sort of lived off the grid himself. This camper was all he had to leave me, but he never did have kids of his own. I suppose that's why he was like a second father to me, also what inspired me to join the military in the first place. Sure, he tried to talk me out of it, given how the war messed him up, but I idolized the man when I was a child. I sometimes wish I would have listened to him, though. He was the one who taught me how to hunt, fish, use a knife, and shoot a gun, long before Uncle Sam showed me the ropes. I probably learned more about how to kill from Frank than anyone else, and it was probably the only damn thing I was ever good at. Told me I was a natural, my uncle, and I suppose he was right. Can't say how he ended up on the outskirts of this little town, though. They looked at him like a stain on their otherwise perfect little paradise. And I guess I carried the torch after he passed. The old RV hadn't run in years, but we had worked on the old girl when we had the money for parts and such. Felt the engine rumble for the first time in God knows how long, only a week or so before he lost the fight. She still wasn't exactly seaworthy and all, but I still planned to move on as soon as I got everything working right. I sort of lost the motivation for a bit after he died, but I got back to work on her just before all this shit started. It was a couple that went missing at first. They had supposedly just been passing through, so nobody stressed that too much. Sure, the abandoned car they left by the tree line, near the city limits, raised some eyebrows. But this little slice of America never did care too much for outsiders, so they didn't exactly put a lot of effort into investigating it. They towed the car, searched around in the woods for a couple of hours, but that was about it. As long as it didn't concern them or their town, it didn't much matter to them. Sure enough, good old Sheriff Garfield came knocking at my door when they were looking into it. He was creeping up on 50, and looked like he was probably in pretty solid shape when he was younger. He was a little over 6 feet tall, a good couple of inches taller than me, but he was pretty thick around the waistline, kept his head cleanly shaved, aside from that thick caterpillar mustache. He always stood as tall as he could to look down on me, but that shit never fazed me. Anytime anything irregular happened, the old camper nestled up on the hill was his first stop. He didn't push it too far, though. Not until one of their own came up missing. That day, he had me in shackles before I could even get a word in. Him and his little goon squad he called the Neighborhood Watch. They already had their mind made up that I was the one who did something to the group of teens who went partying out in the woods that weekend. Yeah, they beat on me a little bit while I was in chains, called me a baby killer and the like, but nothing I wasn't used to from folks like these. I've been tortured by far more experienced hands than some good old boys who hadn't even been in nothing worse than a brawl or two. I took their hits and told them the same story I'd been trying to. I don't mess with anyone in this damn town, not unless I have to stop by the post office to pick up my check from Uncle Sam, or grab some odds and ends at the local stores. I don't even know the kids who never made it home that night, let alone what could have happened to them. They still kept me locked up for a week or so, but after another disappearance left some body parts behind. They couldn't pin that one on me. Of course, Garfield didn't so much as attempt to apologize to me when they let me walk, but I wouldn't have expected any less from that rat bastard. He did have the nerve to ask me if I'd be interested in joining the posse to hunt down what they assumed to be a bear or something, but I just walked away without a word. I didn't hear many details about what was left or whoever the limbs and guts had belonged to, but they seemed pretty certain that it wasn't something any man could have done. I know what men are capable of, seen some of the worst of it firsthand. Hell, I've done some of the worst of it myself. But there ain't much someone in the wrong state of mind can pull off if they have the time and means to do it. That was my thinking anyways, though I wasn't about to argue with being set free. Whether or not I gave two shits about the people of this city, I planned to do my own looking onto who or what was doing this. I sorta wish I would've just stayed out of it, to be completely honest. Just get that old camper roadworthy and turn my back on this shithole. Of course, there's a lot of things I would've done differently in my life, if I knew what I knew now. What's another few scars on the body and mind when it's all said and done, though? Ain't no point in looking back. Not anymore. The posse consisted of maybe 20 or so guys, all of them big old shit-kicking jokers. A couple of them were the ones beating on me for the sheriff's delight, so I knew they had no chance against someone that tore some folks to pieces. Just because they're big doesn't mean they can fight. I've had worse beatings in a friendly sparring match or two. Hell, Uncle Frank hit harder when he was skin and bones from cancer. Whoever or whatever was out there, I knew they couldn't handle it. I tracked them from a good distance, kept the higher ground so I could see where they were headed. It didn't take me long to catch up with them either. I likely should have headed back to the camper to load up on some more supplies, but Garfield reluctantly gave me back my kabar when he let me go. I always kept it on me, even if I was sitting around the fire pit like I was when they dragged me into the station. That knife was like a fifth limb after all these years, and I can control it just as well as any of them, maybe even better. If I were hunting a man, it wouldn't take much to drop him. Just a flick of the wrist, nothing to it. Night was falling when things took a turn, when I got first sight of what was really going on here. Being that it was dark out, all I had to go on was the beams of their flashlights down below. I had spent a good deal of time out in the woods over the past 8 months or so I've been living out this way, but I still had to watch my step. Last thing I needed was to tumble down on two of those I was tracking. When one of them screamed out, I watched those lights dart all over the place. When the maniac got the better of them. Whatever was going on down there, I needed to get a closer look. When I was working my way down the hill, I heard more screams and what sounded like a growling of some kind. I thought it could be that they were right after all. Maybe it was a bear that brought them out this way. But I haven't ever heard of even a grizzly killing folks and dragging them so deep that nobody could find them. Whatever it was, it had a poorly trained posse spooked, and when the one that was screaming turned to moist gargles, I knew the others wouldn't last much longer. Several of them were shouting and whining in one way or another, basically announcing their position to whatever was after them. I didn't have much time to roll my eyes at their stupidity, but I was closing the gap. When I came up to the body spitting blood across the grass, I could damn sure see that no man could have done something like this after all, not in such a short amount of time. His whole throat had been ripped apart, left arm had been torn away, and his gut was shredded to ribbons. It could all be done by human hands and the right tools, but not that quickly. His flashlight was some feet away, with the hand that had been holding it still gripped on. I reckon this thing was a lefty. The closer I looked with light shining across the lifeless husk, the damage to his midsection looked to have been caused by one swift strike. Everything had been peeled to the right, and what had been spilled out was wrapped around the bark of a tree just a few feet in that direction. That was the first strike, if I had to guess. That or the arm. The throat came after, since that scream that turned to gargles came a few moments later. poor bastard didn't even have a chance. When I was attempting to unwrap the rifle from his shoulder, that's when a couple of his buddies cleared the trees. When they saw me kneeling next to the guy, they tried to claim his gun. They trained theirs on me, while barking more of their damn threats and bullshit.
I freaking knew it!
Garfield said when he came up to the ones who had me at gunpoint. It ain't like this, boys, I said, dropping the gun strap and raising my hands. I found him like this. I was just...
Shut the hell up, you sick son of a bitch!
He said, pulling his pistol from his holster, walking closer to where I knelt.
I'm gonna do what I should have done in the first place!
I knew what he was planning. I could see it in his eyes. That same look I had given on so many faces. I was all too familiar with the expression someone gets when they got killing in mind. He was walking slowly, almost reluctantly, but I had a feeling he wanted to do it right. I can't say if he ever killed anyone before, but the way his hands were shaking could have been anything from excited apprehension to just the shock of seeing what was left of this man.
January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AudioBoom. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AudioBoom for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AudioBoom.
He wanted to get close. He wanted to make sure to hit his mark, especially with the way his gun was tremoring. He'd have to get right on me to be sure. Press the barrel right to my head. It was the only way he could be certain. He didn't take into account the advantage that'd give me. Didn't think it through or plan it out. Yeah, his type doesn't think too highly about a soldier. And that was his greatest weakness. You don't disrespect your enemy. Not if you want to get the drop on them. As soon as he pushed that barrel in my face, even though I could see that finger twitch and prepare to pull back, I was faster than him. I swatted that hand as soon as it got in range, spun him around to face his posse with my other arm, and pressed my blade against his throat, just daring the boys to open fire.
Look at my knife, I said,
letting their lights hit the metal.
It's clean! No blood, no guts or meat!
Garfield was shaking like a leaf in a storm, but he was fighting hard to not so much as twitch. In his weak little mind, all he knew was that I was a killer, and he suddenly didn't want to give me a reason.
Look, this looked like a blade that could have done that?
I nodded at the ripped up body on the ground, hoping their little brains could wrap around the facts. Each and every one of them still held their guns on me while they whispered back and forth, like they were little kids telling secrets or something. I just prayed that they would see the truth of what I was saying. It ain't hard to figure out that not only my knife had not been used recently, but one little pig stabber wouldn't be enough to do that kind of damage, not in so little time.
Just let him go and we'll talk about it, man!
The one with the shaggy hair and a finely trimmed beard said, still waving his rifle around like he was trying to swat a fly.
If I drop him, you're gonna drop me! You think I'm that stupid?
I knew what they were thinking. Get the chief out of the way, and fill my guts full of lead. I ain't always the sharpest tool in the shed, but I'm not dumb as a box of rocks either. Just let them. When I would assume to be whatever made that growling sound before, howled out in some sort of almost guttural wail, I had never heard anything like it my whole life, but luckily for me, the ones who held their guns on me looked like they hadn't either. They turned their heads in all directions, trying to find the source of the noise, and I wasted no time in pushing Garfield to the ground before hauling ass away from them. As soon as the chief hit the grass, he yelled at the boys to fire, and I heard a ton of bullets landing in trees and dirt behind me, but I didn't let up until I was sure I was out of range. I heard them try to scamper after me, but with the darkness combined with them, wasting time firing at nothing before they took to running, they weren't going to find me unless I wanted them to.
Bauer!
The sheriff yelled out from somewhere behind me.
You're in a world of shit when we find you!
He wasn't wrong, of course. But if whatever tore this man to shreds found me first, the local law would be the least of my troubles. On the flip side, if it got to them before me, they'd learn a thing or two about hunters and prey. What I had to decide at that point was, should I let it? That close-minded prick had made life hard for me and Frank for some time. But could I really just leave him and the boys to get ripped apart? I haven't been much of a God-fearing man. My parents were regulars at church, every Sunday since I was a kid, but they never forced me to walk the path they chose. Still, I put my life and my sanity on the line to protect folks I had never laid eyes on, leaving me with scars that will never heal. No, this one wasn't my problem. Not after everything this small-minded sheriff in his worthless little town had put me through. At that point, my only concern was getting as far away from my pursuers as I could. Whatever may or may not happen to them after I was gone wasn't my problem. Maybe, if I could get back to the old camper, maybe it had enough life in it to get me across the borders of the city, free me from this damn place and its shitty residents. That was what I was thinking at the time, before the screaming started again. It could have been no more than instinct that had me stop running as soon as another horrified screech echoed across and between the trees. Perhaps it was my own fear of what was out there that made my pulse race while I stood in place, still almost gasping for breath from that flat-out sprint. Of course, it is very possible that I am a stupid individual, one that allows some bizarre sense of morality to overrule my better judgment, that sends me charging back to those from who I had just escaped. Gunfire was erupting from all over the place ahead of me, while one gargling voice became silent, before another yelled out in shock and fear. My own heart pounded against the wall of my chest as I drew closer, even more so when I could make out the growls again. They were hauntingly deep, vibrating in guttural moans that sounded as though each one reverberated against the inner lining of my ears in ways I couldn't quite describe. I felt them as much as I heard them. The first body I came across had been torn in two, split apart at the midsection, only connected by gnarled and meaty strips of tissue. The expression frozen to the man's face was one of complete and absolute horrified shock. The look in his vacant eyes almost disturbed me more than the jagged remains of his spinal column that was protruding through where his intestines were sprawled out across the dead leaves. With the others sounding as though they were only some yards ahead, I reached for the gun that was still held in his hand, only to find that he had apparently spent what ammunition he had. Even with all the awful shit I had seen in my life, I still fought against retching across the bloodied pool of guts at my feet as I searched the body for any extra ammo. I can't say I was surprised to find no trace of any, as these men were clearly not remotely prepared for any of this. As I raised up from the ground once more, a grisly howl called out from what felt like all around me, causing my stomach to churn even more than it already was. Being the incredibly stupid individual I am, I charged onwards with my kabar gripped tightly. If a full load of ammunition didn't so much as slow this thing down, I wasn't entirely sure what my 7-inch blade would do to it. But I had always been more skilled with a knife than a firearm. Yeah, I could shoot well, and rarely missed my mark, but I was always better up close and personal. Since the bizarre soundtrack of whatever this beast was sounded as though it came from all directions, I had little choice than to follow the sounds of the screams. It didn't exactly take rocket science to figure out wherever the current victim was. It was leading me in the direction to what was killing them. After ducking under low-hanging branches, while weaving between trees, some which had deep gashes clawed into them, I finally came face to face with what I had been seeking. What I saw had almost caused my knife to slip through my fingers before running back the other way, but I was so shocked by the sight, I couldn't even convince my legs to move. It stood twice the height of the guy with the neatly trimmed beard, who had held outstretched in his dark fur-lined arm. It looked like every inch of the beast was layered in that thick black fur, though I could still make out bulging and rippled muscles in its arms. It had the shape and proportions of a large man, but its head and lower half resembled some sort of enormous dog or wolf. Everything looked animalistic, with the exception of the human-like torso and arms, as well as the fact it stood upright on two legs. There was one other aspect of this beast that had my knees shaking so violently. I thought it may snap a femur in two, given the fact I could only see the profile of the mammoth from where I stood. I could only make out one of its eyes above the back of its snarling, sharp-toothed muzzle, but it glowed a vibrant red, as though I was gazing at the eyes of the devil himself. The crimson beam illuminated its wrinkled snout, accentuating the feral and hungered expression. I still gazed on, practically rooted to the spot while it wrapped one large, five-fingered hand around the head of its victim, before placing the other around his neck and upon his shoulders. The guy tried to scream out again, but all I could do was make out a muffled whimper and the enlarged palm spreading across his mouth. I could still see the blood spewing from between the fingers of the beast, while it pushed up on the head it held while pressing down on the torso. I heard every tear and snap in the muscle fibers and flesh of the man's neck as it stretched and split. The muffled gargles combined with the sound of the blood splattering against the trees, while spraying into the gaping mouth of the creature. As the final slivers of skin and tissue gave way, the bone creaked and snapped, putting an end to any other sounds besides one of the blood still leaking from one or two parts, which were once a whole person. Once again, the thing howled that maddening wailing chorus, though I witnessed firsthand it throwing its neck back, while reaching its arms out to its sides, dropping the pieces of its victim to the forest floor. I could feel my legs giving out as the life left, as though it was drained from me. My body twitched and spasmed as my mind fought to rationalize what my eyes were gazing upon, but it was a losing battle. I was certain I was only seconds from being ripped apart myself, and I could barely command my limbs to take action. That was, until a hand gripped around my ankle. I almost leapt out of my own skin as images of a second one of those creatures flew across my mind's eye. But when I looked down to see one of the big guys from the sheriff's goon squad staring up at me, it took me a minute to notice what sort of shape he was in. Both of his legs were gone, which instantly flashed me back to Jones' limbs turning to hamburger. I managed to snap out of both my paralysis from seeing that beast tear that poor bastard's head off, as well as my own messed up memories. I gave one final glance to the howling behemoth, before I dropped to the ground next to the man who was barely clinging onto his life with his whole body. Well, what was left of it, shuddering so badly I just knew the beast would hear us. I peered through the bushes to see that thing turn to face where we both shivered across the blood-soaked leaves, attempting to be as silent as humanly possible. I tried to hold the guy next to me as still as possible, while I prayed to the gods I had never put my faith into before. I could feel my own senses begin to recover while I convinced my muscles to stop spasming, allowing me to regain my tight grip on the hilt of my knife, preparing the strike if the beast came close. It looked to me, sniffing in the air. as its snout wrinkled and puffed, but I could only hope the scent of the carnage it had spread across the woods would be enough to disguise my own sweat and filth. When it darted its enormous head from one side to the other before strolling back in the other direction, I finally let out a low and trembling breath, unaware I had even been holding it in. The broken man and I stayed in that same spot, not so much as uttering a single word to one another for what felt like hours. While we waited, I pulled off my belt to wrap around the meaty stumps from where the legs used to reside. Unfortunately, as I tightened it down to halt the flowing stream of blood, I noticed the guy's eyes were vacant and wide. I felt for the poor prick, even if he had me pegged for the brutal killings as much as Garfield, but nobody deserved to end like that. Even with the dead man right next to where I crouched, I still gave it another 10 minutes or so before I got moving again. Not only did I want to make sure that the thing moved on, but I wasn't sure how many of Garfield's boys were still kicking. Unfortunately, that was a question that was answered only moments after I got back on my way.
"There he is!"
the sheriff's voice screamed out, accompanied by the hoots and hollers of several others. I turned to see multiple flashlights beaming as the clumsy footsteps of the posse came crashing through the trees right at me.
"Look what he did! Sick son of a bitch! Shoot him on sight!"
were about all I could make out while one guy's words blended into another's before gunfire silenced all of them. I tried to scream out that I wasn't responsible for any of this, but if they thought me capable of separating limbs and heads with no more than just a damn knife, there's no way my words were going to convince them of shit. I could only assume the group had split apart while they were chasing me down, but I couldn't figure out how they couldn't see that whatever was making those feral and guttural noises was the one responsible for all the carnage. I just continued to run while hoping these half-assed trained junior mercenaries wouldn't be able to land a hit on me. I don't know if I was running away from them or towards that monster, but at that time, the bastards trying to gun me down were the most immediate threat. Still, I was trapped on that damned mountain with the giant hairy beast and an angry frickin' mob, both of which would likely be thrilled to see me dead. Maybe if I had been focusing on the road instead rather than all the madness, I would have noticed the ledge before I felt the ground just disappear beneath my feet.
January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous Standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AudioBoom. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AudioBoom for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AudioBoom.
When I felt my body practically slap across the water, I just knew I had hit the ground and that was the end for me. It took me a minute to realize I was sucking in water, rather than floating away to Neverland or some shit. I wrestled my way back to the surface, just in time to hear more guns firing from above, likely from the ledge I had dropped from. To my continued surprise, I was apparently out of range enough for none of them to hit me before I made it to the riverbank. As soon as I was certain that I was out of the mob's sight, I dropped to the ground, gasping for breath. I was hurting and exhausted. I was almost literally between a rock and a hard place. But I at least had a moment finally. I took a chance to allow my body to rest before moving on, as I was sure it would take them some time to get down to where I found myself. Still, even if I had managed to somehow survive the carnage that beast shed, as well as the ignorant pricks who couldn't let the difference between an animal attack and what was realistically possible with the damn Gabar. It was quite clear to me that my long and brutal night had only just begun. By the time the dang goon squad had showed up, I was long gone. Though they didn't realize it, I could still see them, but they had no clue where I was heading. Of course, it wasn't exactly hard to make out where they were, with the beams of their flashlights darting all over the damn place. They were yelling back and forth to each other so loudly, I just knew they would draw the attention of that creature soon enough. On one hand, I didn't really see a problem with that, as it would take them out of the equation, and I could hopefully get off this mountain while they were getting chewed up like an old pair of slippers. Unfortunately, I wasn't sure if I could live with that on my already heavy conscience. I had seen far too many good people die for no good reason, and even though these ignorant bastards would not fit into the category for me, I don't know if I could just let them be torn apart. Besides, if they did get all wiped out by that thing, I was certain I would still be held responsible. With my luck, Garfield would make it out unscathed, and he would still pin it all on me, even if he did see that thing up close and personal. For the time being, I kept an eye on those hunting for me, even if I hadn't yet decided what I would do if it came down to them or me situation. As it turns out, that wouldn't be a debate I would have to dwell on for long. I'm not sure if it was the howling or the screaming I heard first. I had been keeping an eye on the lights cutting through the darkness, but I couldn't make out much else from where I stalked from above. I think it was pure instinct that sent me charging down the hill, just as it had before. Yes, I still had nothing more than my knife to defend myself, but I knew I had to at least make an effort to clear up some of the members of the Sheriff's posse from the path of that thing. The closer I got to the sounds of the now multiple yelling voices and discharging firearms, the more my own muscles began to twitch and shudder. As soon as I cleared the trees to see Garfield along with another four of his men, they instantly turned their guns on me, causing my feet to skid to a halt. "Your men are dying out here, Chief. We ain't got time for this shit," I said, hoping to rationalize with the man who had never shown the ability to be rational. The high-pitched shrieks and gunfire sounded to me only 40 or 50 yards away at most, but the boys would not turn their guns away from me.
"You got a partner out here?" Garfield asked.
When another gnarled howl erupted from somewhere to their backs, each of them turned their heads with alarmed expressions etched across their faces. I almost took the opportunity to snatch at least one of their weapons while they were distracted, but I knew I had to keep things as peaceful as I could if I hoped to get through to them. Not only that, but I didn't need any of them trigger-happy and give away our position.
"That sound like a man to you?" I asked. "What's out there, man?"
the tall and slender guy in the back of the group asked, still cutting his head from each side.
"Come on, Chief. You gotta see what's going on here. If we work together, maybe we could survive this." "You think I'm stupid, Bauer? You just want me to let my guard down, right? Do you really?"
"Damn it, Garfield, yes! I think you're being dumb as shit right now. You hear that?" I asked, pointing my finger in the direction of where the gargling screams were coming from.
"Your men are dying out there, you ignorant bastard!"
He looked dumbfounded, but still walking closer to me, pressing the barrel of his rifle against my chest.
"Pull that trigger or get the hell out of my way," I said, staring the close-minded prick down.
If he wasn't prepared to do anything to help save his men, it would be up to me to try. I knew I couldn't persuade any of these idiots to give me a gun, but if I could get close to that beast, I'd gut that son of a bitch, even if it tore me apart while I did. Another scream even closer to where I faced off with those who still had themselves convinced I was the killer, finally caused the chief to lose his focus for long enough for me to pull the gun from his shaking hands. The others trained their weapons on me again, while Garfield backed away holding his hands up. I still just held his rifle by the barrel, before I tossed it back to him. I ain't the bad guy here. He just stared me down again after fumbling the gun between his hands, before finally securing his grip. He began to raise it up to aim it at me again, but the expression on his face had changed. What do you want us to do, Chief? Just shoot the bastard?
We gotta get the hell out of here, man!
Let's just go and leave this piece of shit here. The words of the crumbling group of undertrained mercenaries overlapped one another, while the sheriff continued to study me, occasionally turning his head to allow his ears to meet the squeals of those who were surely being ripped into pieces. Okay, he said, drawing the pistol from his hip and tossing it to me. You make a move on any of us, I'll drop your sorry ass. You better frickin' believe. His threats were cut short by a bloodied body being launched through the trees, splitting the bark of one of them before landing almost right at his feet.
Chaso!
One of the guys yelled out, retching instantly from the sight of the man who had been split open from groin to throat. Two of the other guys were just whimpering in barely audible tones, while the sheriff just gazed slack-jawed at what remained of one of his boys. We barely had the opportunity to take in what had happened. When the beast itself burst through the trees, splintering shards of wood around the still twitching corpse. Garfield just stared up at the thing as it heaved deep breaths while glaring down at him with those glowing eyes, still shining across that wrinkled snout. The whole scene played out before me, making the matter of seconds feel like it lasted an eternity. One of the guys who hadn't completely lost his shit fired right at the thing, before the creature just swatted at him with the back of its enlarged five-fingered hand. The man slammed his back against the thick bark behind him, and I heard what could have been anything from the snapping of wood to the shattering of his bones. As he slid down to the ground, either unconscious or dead, the chief raised his own trembling gun up to the momentarily distracted monster. He shot once directly into the heavy chest of the thing. It whipped its head back to face the chief, before wrapping its fur-lined hand across both the gun and the arm, which tried to stabilize it. Even with the others having regained some of their composure, now firing their own bullets into the black matted fur, it still appeared to move so slowly as it squeezed the chief's arm, before jerking it from one side to the other. Garfield shrieked out an anguished and shocked squeal as the beast tore the arm away from his body, leaving nothing more than twisted tissue and bloodied meat about halfway down the length of his bicep. His screaming did not stop, even when he fell to the ground, gazing up at the thing as it tossed the pummeled and shredded limb to the ground, still ignoring those who unloaded their guns into its back. The monster reached down to the chief, outstretching its widened hand to clutch the whimpering man by the head. Finally convincing my own trembling limbs to take action, I leapt forwards, jabbing my blade through the center of the splayed open hand, pulling back to carve a ditch from the center of its palm where the knuckles ended between the fingers. It swiftly pulled back, falling to the ground itself, gazing madly at the grizzled split running almost the length of its furry paw. It made a high-pitched, shrill squeal that threatened to cause me to spill my guts across the sheriff, who still writhed in the grass, reeling from the gruesome amputation. While the creature still appeared shocked by its own injury, I dragged the chief back by his shirt collar, while attempting to form a makeshift tourniquet to halt the flow from his gushing wound. I knew I had no time to waste, but I also knew how quickly a man can bleed out from such a wound. The others surrounded where the beast sat, still holding out its hand before its glowing eyes, as though it's never seen its own blood before. As I sealed the oozing stump to the best of my ability, I began to approach those firing into the flesh of the beast. But I couldn't get close enough before the shock in those scarlet eyes gave way to a rage-fueled howl. It moved so quickly, My eyes could barely even register what had happened. With one swift swat of its hand, that was still in one piece, it tore its glossy black and blood-soaked claws into the side of the man on the far left. He screamed out in a sound not like any which the sheriff had shrieked, as the hand closed into a fist while wrapped around his torso. It squeezed and twisted, echoing snapping and crunching sounds across the forest. In one final flick of the muscled wrist, the man was shredded into two pieces, both parts gushing fluids and entrails across the one who stood to his right. As it dug its large crimson-stained and sharp teeth into the throat of the next poor bastard in line, I knew I had to get Garfield away from there if I was able. Clearly, there was nothing I could do to save those who were surrounding the thing, though I could still make out where at least one of them had sprinted through the trees, hopeful to escape the gruesome fates of his friends. I gave one last look to the man who had about a foot ditch chewed between his neck down to his chest, with broken shards of rib bones piercing through the ground beef-lined chest cavity, before I threw Chief across my shoulder and ran as fast as my legs would carry me. As I attempted to charge back towards the riverbank I had pulled myself from not too long ago, I heard one last gargled scream far off in the distance behind me, before everything but my own charging footsteps fell silent. Garfield didn't even seem to be moving as I charged on, but I hoped he had only passed out, and not that I had slowed his blood flow enough. I still only had so much time to get him some professional help, but I was prepared to keep speeding towards civilization as long as I could.
Chief!
A voice spoke through the walkie-talkie the sheriff had clipped to his belt.
Chief, you there?
He's hurt, I replied. Trying to get him back to get help.
Wait, where'd you guys go? A couple of us got turned around out here. We heard shots fired. You kill that turd, Bauer?
Bauer ain't the killer. There's some kind of beast. Get the hell out of there.
I chose to reveal neither who I was, nor the fact that that turd, Bauer, didn't have shit to do with any of this. Yes, I knew these guys were potentially screwed, but I didn't have time to go hunting for them if I hoped to get Garfield to safety. I still wasn't entirely sure why I was so driven to help a man who had always threatened me with nothing but contempt, but I think I sort of needed to. Not only did I need my name cleared on this, but that son of a bitch owed me now. Well, if I could save his ass, he would. As soon as I reached the lake, I stopped for a moment, laid the chief down and inspected both the shredded tissue and his pulse. I had to tighten down the tourniquet down some more, and he was looking incredibly pale. But his pulse was surprisingly strong, even with the blood loss and trauma. I decided to take a moment to catch my breath, before quenching my thirst with the refreshing river water. Everything was quiet, aside from my own thumping heartbeat and the shallow breath of the chief. I knew I had to get moving, but my side was splitting from the hasty retreat.
January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AudioBoom. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AudioBoom for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AudioBoom.
I still feel like crap for not being able to save the other guys, as well as leaving gosh knows how many others behind. but I had to focus on the life I could save, even if it was that relentless prick who always had it out for me. I let my guard down. I should have known that was a mistake. I got sloppy, and it was my own fault I didn't see it coming. I didn't even realize it had stalked up from behind me, while I sat there, resting my legs and back. With its massive proportions, I think I allowed myself to believe it was not the most stealthy of creatures. I know better than this. I know you never make assumptions about a burgeoning threat. Maybe my pig-headed ass deserved to die along with every lost soul on that mountain. It let out a deep growl that almost caused the ground to shudder. I looked down to the water to see the moonlight's glow highlighting the reflection of the thing as it stood over me. Its chest was heaving with angered breath as it stared down at me with those piercing eyes. I stayed still. I didn't twitch. I wanted to let it assume I was paralyzed with fear. I dropped my guard, got comfortable and self-assured. I could tell this thing was intelligent to a point at least, but maybe it could be arrogant too. I edged my hand so slowly towards the hilt of the blade sheathed to my belt. I could only hope it didn't notice. I almost wished I hadn't dropped the chief's pistol down beside where he lay as I tightened the belt around his stump, but I hoped my blade would be enough. I turned my head and body to glare up into his eyes. I began to tremble and whimper, giving it what it wants. Let it see my fear. Make it think I'm broken. It just tilted its head to one side, still keeping its snarling constant, allowing the thick drool to seep from its upturned lips, dripping onto the ground beside me. I just kept on whining and sobbing, uttering pleas to spare my worthless life while covering my face with one hand, and the other steadily creeping towards my knife. As I felt my fingers wrap around the hardened hilt of my kabar, the beast threw its head back, wailing a victorious howl into the night and across the darkened trees. That's it, you son of a bitch. You got me pegged. Got me beat. Ain't nothing to it now, right? You stupid sack of shit laced fur. You got cocky. As soon as its upturned mouth called out, I whipped my knife out before pushing myself forwards between its legs. I don't know if this thing's anatomy works in the same rules as ours do, but I knew what a split Achilles tendon did to a person. As soon as I got behind it, I swiped my knife across the tendon on the back of the elongated ankle. It instantly echoed an ear-piercing squeal, dropping to its knee on the side I cut. I tried to leap for the other leg, but it caught me by the arm before I made it. Damn, this thing was fast. As I felt the grip tightened around the arm which held my kabar, I glanced over to the stump hanging from Garfield's shoulder, knowing full well this could be my fate if I didn't act fast. I dropped the knife, instantly catching it with my other arm, before the massive fingers could shatter my bones and twist my arms and feet from my body. I stuck my blade through its forearm, weaving it from side to side within the now gushing meat. It shrieked again, releasing its grip on my arm, but it swatted at me from the side before I could pull my knife back out. I felt my body soar through the air before I landed some 20 feet or so from where the beast stood. Pulling the kabar from its arm and throwing it to the side, it faced me with those red eyes cutting into mine again, crouching down as though it was set to pounce. I was weaponless now. I could vaguely make out my blade reflecting in the moonlight far out of my reach, but there's no way I could get to it before the monster could get to me. It was a classic face-off as we gazed upon one another. I prepared to hold my ground, but I knew I had no chance in a hand-to-hand fight. Not with something like what I'd faced off against. As it spread open the fingers on both of its enormous hands, I noticed the one that had split down the center was already sealing itself back shut. Could this thing really heal so quickly? Even with that factor, when it prepared to leap towards me, it buckled from the severed tendon, falling back on one side, giving me a small window to attempt to reach my knife. I sprinted faster than I ever had before, desperate to reach my only manner of defense. As soon as I took off, the beast pushed from the ground with its good leg, ramming its sizable shoulder against me as I attempted to pass by. I hit the ground hard, knocking the wind from my lungs. I scrambled to get back to my feet, but it jumped me again, pinning me to the forest floor before I could get myself clear. It raised me back up, holding its still oozing palm on my chest. It still had a steady blood flow, even if it was sealing itself back together on the inside. I dug my fingers into the gnarled ditch, attempting to force it to release the pressure on my chest. But it just raised the hand back up before thrusting it back down on me again. I coughed and gagged from the breaking of at least one rib, and even more so when it dug its claws through the flesh of my gut and shoulders. It just glared down at me again. It knew it had me now. I couldn't go anywhere. I just closed my eyes and prepared for the inevitable shredding tissue. Somewhere beyond the darkness of my eyelids, a gunshot followed by another shocking whine broke me free from my self-pitying moment. I opened my eyes just in time to see another gunshot cause the side of the creature's face to tear open, gapping the wide mouth more than it was previously capable of. I looked over to see Garfield with his gun outstretched in his lone hand, firing one shot after another. As soon as the grip on my chest released, I fought to break free of the ground to get back on my quest to regain possession of my knife. The pain was intense from the ripped flesh on my stomach and shoulders, as well as the bones that were very likely broken underneath the surface. But I pushed through anyways. The very second I wrapped my fingers around the hilt, I charged towards the beast as it attempted to reach the chief between gunshots tearing into its face. It swatted the gun from his hand, causing another cracking sound followed by a scream from Garfield. I knew his only remaining arm was likely shattered, but I wouldn't give the monster a chance to remove it as it had the other. As soon as I closed the gap between us, I leapt onto its shoulders as it leaned down over the sheriff. I dug my blade into its neck, right where it met its muscled shoulder. Once and once again, I buried my blade to the hilt, each one causing another gargled whine to erupt from its gaping maw. It pushed back onto its good foot, landing with its back onto the ground and me sandwiched in between. I tried the gag from the already broken ribs being compressed even more, but as soon as the beast gathered its bearings, it rolled off of me and quickly limped away from us. I watched on from the ground as the blackened fur blended with the trees, sinking away into the darkness once more. I was hurting like hell, and I could tell the chief was too. But he had survived. I knew it would only be a matter of time until it recovered from the injuries we managed to inflict, so I didn't have any more time to waste. I quickly set Garfield's arm back into place as well as I could, wrapped it up, wedged between two sturdy sticks, and threw him back over my shoulder. He protested at first, assuring me he was fit to walk, but we both knew he was in no condition to move as quickly as we needed to. Even with my broken rib bones skidding against one another beneath my skin, I wouldn't let up this time. I wasn't entirely sure if I had been going in the right direction, but now that the chief was more aware, he was able to take part in the navigation. As we finally saw the streetlights of the city ahead between those last few remaining trees that we had to get through, the voice returned on the radio. The sheriff warned them about what was out there with them, and even though they sounded freaked out by this news, they assured us if they couldn't get off the mountain, they'd find a good spot to hide. They talked back and forth with the chief, even when we managed to reach civilization again. Garfield said he would send in more guys to help them get back home, but they wouldn't hear it. With all the lives lost already, they made him swear they wouldn't send anyone else in. It didn't take long to get the attention of some of the city's residents, and being such a close-knit and friendly folk, to choose they did not consider outsiders anyways, they had an ambulance headed our way quickly. I didn't accompany the sheriff back to the meat wagon, though. My work was not yet finished, regardless of how much I was hurting. Yes, I didn't have the ability to just rest for a bit, and allow my body to heal as that thing did, but I didn't care much at the time. The chief offered me his gun before he was hauled away, but it was about as useful to me as a well-balanced rock with its ammunition spent. maybe I'd be able to track down one of those weapons left in the wake of the creature's previous attacks. One that may yet have a few rounds left inside it. I figured I'd only get a little time before the monster was back up to its full strength, so I had no time to worry about gathering up any other supplies I may need. It didn't matter if I made it back off the mountain again. I didn't have much else anymore, aside from a beat-up camper that may never run again. I hated this damn town, and nobody would shed a tear for me even if I put an end to that thing. But I had spent most of my adult life putting myself on the line for folks who didn't give two shits if I was left in pieces when the dust cleared. I was a living and breathing weapon. It's the only thing I had ever been good at. And if there was ever a time to kill, this was it. That monster drew blood from the people of this shitty slice of the world before it took the time to spill mine too. It was my turn now. I knew we could hurt it. A wise man once said,
"If it bleeds, we can kill it."
And that's just about all I aim to do. Last time it had the drop on us, but I was the hunter now. I was ready for it now. I wanted a war. And who was I to disappoint? Part 3. The Final Bleed. It wasn't long before I came up on the riverbank that almost left me dead for the third time, and there was still a healthy amount of blood pooled here and there. I figured most of it was leaked out of the chief, but we put a hurting on the beast too. Of course, I was still aching pretty good myself, but I didn't have time to worry about all that. Likely, I'd be suffering a good deal more by the time the work was done. But that's just part of the job. Can't always be avoided, really. I took a minute to clean out my wounds by the lake, but they were still oozing quite a bit. I knew I would have to do something about the bleeding soon, but I had nothing to use to seal myself back shut. The holes in my shoulders were leaking worse than the ones on my gut, but I would have to close them all by the best of my ability if I hoped to take out the beast. Couldn't do much if I bled out by the time I hunted the bastard down. It didn't take me long to get back to where that poor bastard was ripped into two, something that showed even more painfully now than I could really take it in. The look that was frozen on his face was one I was all too familiar with. I had seen that look on so many faces in my days. Some of them saw the other side of it, but the expression was always the same, whether they lived or not. It's something like shock combined with horror of seeing part of you that isn't there anymore. Could be something they could fix, but not always. Even if they did get it back in the end, it didn't change the terror of losing it in the first place. I found the gun the man who was quite literally beside himself had been wielding before he met his end. There were still a few rounds left, but I would have to sacrifice at least one of them. It wasn't easy to split the bullets to access the gunpowder within. I ended up using two rocks as a makeshift set of pliers, and I was a bit nervous as to not set the damn thing off. Once I got access to the powder, I packed it into each of the holes gouged into my meat. Fortunately, the guy who was kind enough to leave me his gun was also a smoker. I had to light each one of those holes individually, and I damn near passed out by the third. It took everything I had to finish the job, and by the time I was done, I was breathing heavier than I was by the time I got the chief back to town. I had to bite down on a stick to keep myself from screaming, but I couldn't risk letting the monster know I was coming for it. After a few minutes, I checked to make sure the blood had really stopped flowing, and got back on the hunt. As I continued my hike, I saw more parts of folks hanging from trees or just discarded on the ground. Blood lined the ground in places and gore hung from branches here and there. Can't deny I felt my stomach fight against it a few times, even if the sight of such things were nothing new to me. I suppose you never get used to seeing something like that. I've had those times where I wasn't entirely sure I was quite human anymore, but that was back before I saw something completely inhuman. Having spent so many hours under the moonlight, my eyes had grown accustomed to the darkness for long enough. I didn't have much trouble maintaining far more stealth than I had before. Even with all the carnage and chaos surrounding me, I managed to get a read on tracking the beast. The footprints weren't hard to differentiate from the other feet that had walked across that mountain, and it had left clumps of that dark fur matted to trees and branches here and there.
The National Education Association, NEA's, Read Across America is the nation's largest celebration of reading, helping students of all ages connect with diverse, inclusive books that make them feel seen and expand their worlds. America's educators are committed to inspiring a nation of readers, sharing the joy of reading by creating classrooms and communities where every student can access books that make them feel reflected and respected. But right now, access to diverse, age-appropriate books is under attack like never before. The past 4 years have brought an unprecedented number of book bans, 6,870 in the 2024-25 school year alone. NEA's Read Across America celebrates the joy of reading through curated book lists, recommended authors, and ready-to-use resources that help every parent and child find the stories they connect with. Join NEA's Read Across America and celebrate the magic of books. Learn more at readacrossamerica.org.
I suppose something of that size is bound to leave a good deal of trace around, but I knew it was smarter than I originally thought, too. I was remaining on the defense after I left the last pile of its victims behind, making sure not to let my guard down for even a second. It was only maybe 20 minutes later when I heard something that told me I was most definitely on the right track. The screams sounded as though they were coming from just a ways ahead, and the growling that accompanied them damn near turned my hair white. I picked up my pace, hoping to make it where the men were yelling before it was too late. I still kept my footfalls as silent as I could while I sped up the stoop, hearing the screams turning to more gargling coughs. I knew there would be nothing that I could do for the one hung limp and paled on the claws of those massive hands when I crossed through the trees. I ducked down, trying to keep out of sight while cutting my eyes across the scene in search of any other survivors. I saw no sign of anyone else, but the monster didn't seem in any rush to get moving. It could be that he had already wiped out everyone else, but perhaps they had managed to escape while their buddy took one for the team. Whichever way it had gone, that wasn't my immediate concern. After the beast tossed its victim to the side like an old shoe, it actually looked to be somewhat tuckered out. It was panting heavily while its muscular shoulders appeared as though they drooped almost lifelessly. As it slowly glanced in either direction before spinning to almost casually stroll away, it did not appear to be in any sort of hurry. If I was lucky, something that had felt incredibly elusive since the beginning of this batshit crazy night, it wouldn't notice me if I stalked behind. Even moving slowly, it was tricky to keep up, as those long legs took far wider strides than I was capable of. Though I did lose sight of it from time to time, I could at least hear what direction those heavy footsteps were coming from. I was so focused on keeping up, I damn near lost my footing on a wide ditch. It looked to be about 10 feet wide and just as many deep, but I caught myself before I caused enough ruckus to catch the attention of my quarry. I worried I'd lost it by the time I worked my way around the hole, but I made damn sure I carved into the tree closest to the edge. I had to be sure I recognized where that drop-off was the next time I came back this way. When the trees parted to give way to a fairly wide opening, I feared I would be unable to keep myself hidden as I followed from behind. But when I noticed where it was headed, I remained concealed behind the tree line. It looked to be some kind of abandoned mine or something of the like. The wide entrance was surrounded by overgrown vines and bushes, but the beast didn't so much as look back before it crossed through the aged and cracked doorway. I stayed parked behind the thick bark until I was secure the beast was not coming back out. Near as I could figure, this had to be its nest or lair, or whatever the hell you want to call its home of a thing like that. It doesn't matter how big or evil something is, everything needs rest at some point. God knows I could use some for myself. but I had been trained to go out without sleep for days if I had to. Once I felt sure enough that it wasn't coming back out, that's when I went to work. All I had was a gun and maybe a handful of rounds left, my wits, and my trusty knife. But if I played my cards right, I wouldn't need to shoot until I was ready. I stayed as silent as I could while I set up my rocks around the entry to the cavern. Not only would it give me the advantage if I stumbled a bit when it came back out, but I hoped I'd be able to hear it if it re-emerged while I took care of a few things. There were a few old boards splayed out across the ground next to the opening, which I presumed that were once bolted over the doorway to keep trespassers out. Those could come in handy soon enough. After I had my speed bump set up, I headed back into the woods. Not too far off, but enough of a distance to hopefully keep it from hearing what I was up to. It took some time to sharpen down enough for the loose and discarded large branches into spikes, but I wedged several between trees, as well as lining the bottom of that pit I almost fell into a ways back. Even though I felt my broken ribs trying to tear through me from the inside out, I heaved some heavier ones up by some vines, setting up a trigger system for me to kick out of the way when the time came. I made a stack of spears to perhaps be able to do some damage from a distance. It wasn't much, and I didn't have a whole lot to work with, but I needed every advantage I could get on that thing. It probably took me a good couple of hours to do what I could, but I had one last trap I wanted to set up. One that may prove quite tricky to get in place without disturbing my prey. I moved softly as I crept above the opening of that mine shaft where the beast hopefully slept soundly. I set up the broken piece as a board before sliding one boulder after another up on the ledge. The first few were the most concerning as I couldn't know how much strength those ancient planks had, but I grew more confident with each one I managed to stack. I was sure they wouldn't hold in place for long, but once I felt sure there were enough to at least accomplish something, I was ready to wake the creature. I snuck back to the tree line, secured myself in place behind one of the thicker trunks, and trained my newfound rifle to the opening through which the beast crossed some hours before. Knowing neither how far it had gone inside, nor how quickly it may react to my assault, I would have to be able to switch my aim from the opening to the wooden planks above in a split second. I practiced switching my barrel's direction back and forth a few moments before I was sure enough to make my shot. I couldn't know how accurate this weapon was until I fired off that first round, but I could only hope my reflexes would be quick enough with how exhausted and weakened my body felt. My ribs still throbbed, as did the quintet of holes I had sealed shut with fire. But I had no more time to waste. This was it, win or lose. I could only hope I would do enough damage to it before I lost too much blood. As soon as the seconds of that first bullet laughing into the open mineshaft echoed across the otherwise silent forest, an angered and ferocious growl erupted from inside. Even from as far away as I perched behind the tree, I felt the ground vibrate from the thundering giant feet. It only took a split second for those glowing red eyes to carve through the darkness, before I saw that snarling about being illuminated by the moon. My second shot instantly split the dry, rotted boards, splitting the large and heavy boulders across the upper back of the beast as soon as it sprung from the cave's mouth, stumbling over the large stones I had lined across the doorway. The very moment it uttered that high-pitched squeal from its mouth, I emptied the rest of my weapon's payload into that matter fur. Though the heavy rocks had pressed it momentarily to the hard ground, it wasted no time in pushing back to its feet, howling again as my bullets drilled into its flesh, spurting globs of thick and dark blood against the border of the entryway to its lair. A gargling howl breached its lips as crimson spewed from behind its jagged teeth. I tossed the gun as soon as the last round was spent, before speeding back towards my next trap, with the monster charging right behind me, barely having missed a beat from my initial attacks. I could practically feel its foul breath on the back of my neck as I skidded to the ground, planting the heel of my boot into the slim but sturdy makeshift trigger lever. When the twig snapped, twin heavy spikes soared down from either side, one piercing into the midsection of my pursuer. Oh yes, those would hurt like a son of a bitch. I could tell from the anguished shriek and bellowing from its mouth, as well as the blood that grounded from where those oversized stakes impaled into its fur-lined meat. It tried to wrestle itself off the ground where it dropped after it got stuck, but that just buried the spikes deeper. For a minute there, I thought I might actually be able to pull this off. That basic rule to survival that I once more allowed to slip from my mind for a moment too long. Never get cocky. The guns firing from somewhere behind me pulled my attention away from my prey for long enough to miss my chance to end it right then and there. The two dumbasses who left their buddy for dead a ways back were running right at me with their bullets landing closer to me than what I hoped they were trying to hit. I turned back to the beast just in time for it to swipe its massive hand right across me. I felt two of the claws tear into my chest, while a third narrowly missing my throat by a half inch at best. It had its fingers splayed as it lashed out, so the thumb was fortunately spread out to one side, but the forefinger caught me across the face. If I hadn't turned my head in time, it would have likely taken out my left eye, but it split my cheek from my ear to my mouth, and when I screamed out from the shock and pain, I felt that side open much wider than it had previously been able to. I hit the ground hard, and while blood gushed onto the grass from my face and chest, I knew I was done for. I tried to pull myself away before it could jump me, but the bullets whizzing by above my head made me question every single movement I could even think about. Once more, I could feel the breath of the beast as it growled from so close above where I lay. I knew I was screwed. If it hadn't been for one of those idiots finally making contact with their shots, I'm positive I would have been torn to shreds in the same spot I had been rooted to. After the howling squeal bellowed out right behind my head, I felt the ground compress as the monster pushed itself away from it, smashing into the trees ahead, splitting them apart and raining splinters down on me like a storm. I took the likely brief opportunity to thrust myself back to my feet, not even taking the time to check how bad I was messed up. My head spun for a moment as I regained my balance, before my duet of horrified squeals echoed out from some yards away. I can't say I was shocked to see both men appalled by the claws of the creature, but it was still not an easy sight to witness. It looked as though it nailed them as soon as it got within reach, tearing into their torsos and out the other side. I had to force my trembling legs to move while it slammed one against a tree, splitting the body apart while its hand broke free from the guy's right side. With that massive mitt loose, it wrapped its finger across the forehead of another, prying it back, before digging its teeth into its throat, pulling what was left of the head away. It was so drenched in the blood of those it had just put to a gruesome end, I couldn't tell if its own injuries were still oozing. And with my head so loopy at the time, I wasn't entirely sure where I was in relation to my next destination. When it turned back to face me, I found myself gazing into those vibrantly glowing, piercing red eyes for what felt like minutes. I was heaving for breath, and it looked to be struggling itself. It felt like some sort of Western gunfight was brewing as we stared at one another, just waiting for the clock to strike. Whether it was reflex, muscle memory, or just plain old giggles and shits, I made the first move, darting to the right as quickly as I could. I could only hope I charged in the right direction as the beast pummeled through more trees to clear a pathway. As soon as I caught eye of the small stack of wooden spears, I knew I was heading the right track. But I had to get there first. I had to lead it to where I wanted, not to where it could finish me off quickly. Every fiber of every muscle burned, as well as the pulsing of my series of gaping wounds. But I was running on pure instinct, pure drive to survive. Its bloodlust was strong, as was its hatred for me. I heard it worse than perhaps anyone else had before, and it wouldn't think twice when it got within range. But that's exactly what I was counting on. At the time, I hadn't really believed myself to have any concrete plan or how I lined them up. But when I saw that pit ahead, I had a brief visual image of how I would align them, of the gap I had left in between. As had been the case more times than I could even count by now, it was right behind me, but I had to allow it to get close for this to work. As soon as I leapt forwards, I heard it loudly grunt as it pushed its own legs free from the ground. I had so little time to adjust my posture. It would be a miracle if this worked, but as I spun myself around to face its enormous and gaping mouth, I pinned my arms to my side, clamping my legs together as I fell backwards. I closed my eyes once again, as this would be over in an instant whether I pulled this off or not, while the cool air whistled through my cavernous split in my face.
January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous Standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AudioBoom. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AudioBoom for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AudioBoom.
My back slamming against the ground, knocking the wind right out of me, as did the spikes tearing through the outside of my right thigh. But none of that overwhelming my delight at hearing the quickly muffled squeal. The final sounds that uttered from the twitching mouth of the beast, as all 10 spikes buried into its tissue in multiple areas, was far more satisfying than I could have imagined. Even with the likely tremendous weight of the thing, I had aligned the spikes at varying angles, so the bulging chest was still propped a foot or so from my face as we both laid broken at the base of the deep ditch in the forest floor. I don't know if it was the shock of everything, my ongoing battle to ignore the high degree of pain I was in, or just the thought that I might be dead that left me lying there in the same spot until the sun began to arise in the distance. Whatever it was, with the woods being finally lit up around me, I could clearly see that the creature was no longer moving, as it still appeared to almost hover above me in the light beaming across its frozen form. I still jabbed at it with my knife a few times just to make sure, maybe just for fun. Truth be told. When I finally decided to wriggle myself out from the bottom of that pit, it was no easy task. With my newly ripped thigh, I found it hard to put pressure on the leg, but I was able to use the body of the beast to lift myself up off the ground. My chest and ribs burned like a son of a gun while I pulled myself out the rest of the way. But I was finally free of both the creature and what had almost served as our twin grave. I took one final look at the behemoth, actually taking in its enormous proportions, which would have appeared far more intimidating by the daylight if it was still alive. I barely remember descending that mountain, but the elderly couple who were the first to see me clearing the trees showed me the first semblance of courtesy and respect I had never experienced from this damn city. I blacked out in the ambulance, and by the time I opened my eyes again, apparently 3 weeks had passed. To my surprise, I wasn't alone in my room when I reawakened. Sheriff Garfield was sitting in the corner of my room, wearing an expression I never thought his face was capable of. A look of genuine happiness to see me alive. To my continued surprise, not only did he thank me for saving his life, but he apologized for being such an asshole to me for so long. He appeared to be doing pretty well, even with the vacant sleeve of his jacket dangling by his side. He told me about the exertions some government officials had made up that mountain to reclaim the town's dead, along with the few members of the chief's posse who had already survived that seemingly endless night. There was also more troubling news they brought back with them. It would seem the pit I had laid that beast to rest in was empty when they arrived at the scene. Whether or not that was the work of the higher-ups themselves, or if that damn monster had found a way to crawl back out of that grave, nobody really knew. But they pledged to the town folk that they need not fear the beast any longer. Apparently, they traced the entirety of the forest between the land and the sky, by way of the chopper they flew overhead, finding absolutely no trace of the creature. I stuck around for a few months while I got my strength back, and the sheriff arranged for the local garage to fix up my uncle's old camper for me. He even set me up in a hotel room while the work was being done. Sure enough, over the course of that time, it seemed the mountain truly had become a safe place for folks to camp and fish again. Most still wouldn't set foot on those woods ever again, but I felt pretty safe in the notion my work here was done. The day I set out to leave town, Garfield shook my hand while telling me I was always welcome should I ever choose to return. He handed me a large envelope, containing about 10 grand the town had pulled together, along with the card signed by so many citizens of the city that once saw me as little more than filth they wished to scrape free from their collective shoes. The scars I earned up on that mountain will always be a part of me, but they're not quite as grotesque as I expected them to be. All in all, the doctors did a solid job on my face, though I have something of a permanent smirk on that side of my mouth now. Even the deep ditches in my chest are not as visible as they were when I first left the hospital. Yes, I've gathered more than my share of scars over the course of my life, but each and every one proves me with a reminder, not of things I wish to remember, but of things I have survived. That's not for nothing. I don't know where I'm headed from here, but I don't think I'm quite ready to rejoin the world just yet. I can't say whether I'll come back this way or not, but it is nice to know there are people I may have a place amongst, should I ever crave such a thing. For the time being, I think I'll find somewhere secluded, somewhere I could heal both my body and mind. I thought I'd seen the worst things the world had to offer, but I could only imagine what else may be out there, lurking in the shadows, just waiting for something to chew on. If I'm lucky, maybe I've seen the last of such things. That's what I'm hoping for, anyways.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Struggling with corn rootworm, equipment clogs, and costly slowdowns? Say hello to Opello, a new soil-applied insecticide from Syngenta. Powered by Planazolin technology, Opello is a smooth, tank mix-friendly formulation that tackles rootworm with ease. Say goodbye to the past and hello to bigger bushels and better returns at brighterwithopello.com. Always read and follow label instructions. Opello is a restricted-use pesticide.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week. Save.